The charter season on Below Deck Down Under is coming to a close, but tensions have been reaching boiling point in the galley. Welcome to Reality Mums, the one and only Chef Serena.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Look, we love Below Deck, huge Below Deck fans. And I wanted to say you've had a really intense season, like a lot has gone on for you. How do you feel watching it back? Is it really hard to sit back and watch those episodes, especially when there's a lot of emotion, a lot of sort of drama that's happening in those confined spaces?
Yeah, it's been quite triggering, especially hearing the stuff, you know, that you completely miss, and, you know, the stuff behind your back and people's confessionals, you know. It's but it's actually been really good validation. So when we were filming, I kind of thought that I was actually going a bit crazy and putting a lot of blame on myself. And now watching it back, it's actually like this validation of like, that stuff was being said. It wasn't just in my head.
Yeah.
You know,
have you approached anybody about that, like personally, about those confessionals as they air? Do you reach out to people and sort of clear the air on that?
Nope. If that's their story and that's what they want to tell, then I will always give them that open space. It's actually been the opposite of when I've tried to open up about my side of the story. I've had people backlash at me.
Oh my goodness.
It's been a bit of a tough road with it, and having to completely check everything before I post and what I'm allowed to say, when in my eyes I feel like I'm just like defending myself, and then I'm getting cyberbullying claims come to me, and I'm like, well, all I'm doing is literally defending myself. I couldn't then, and I can't now. So
now we've seen the struggles on the boat, and tonight's episode that we watched that's aired in Australia, we saw you make up with Lara.
Yes.
Nice. It was really nice to see the moment where you've hugged and you've brushed everything off the carpet. Where do you stand with her now?
So I'm not going to do any spoilers, but I did see a preview of the final. It actually basically turns out that Lara, behind my back, was basically mocking me and laughing me and basically being like, oh, Zarina thinks everything's fine, but actually I'm going to have another conversation with her. Basically, she just did it to please Jason. I thought it was really real. And in that moment, it was just like such a relief for me. And I was smiling again. I was my normal weird self. And I didn't realize that actually upstairs, it was a completely different story. So that was really actually very upsetting to see last night when it popped up, and also before bed. And I was like, why? And before bed, and now I'm not going to sleep. And like, really? Like, I really thought it was fine.
Yeah. Because it looked like I was happy when you made
it. Yeah, really. It was actually such a beautiful moment. And I had this like whole like romanticized idea of like, oh, this just proves that like women can move on, and it's women supporting women. And like, it's been a really hard season, and this will just show how like difficult it is to work on a yacht. And then at the end of the day, like, it's fine, and like, we can help other women. So bam, like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. No, it's not going to be like that. Okay, well.
That's a shame, because, yeah, it was a nice moment to watch.
It was beautiful. And imagine feeling that as well. You know, in the moment, it was so nice. It was such a relief for me to then be like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame. One thing we saw this season, which was a first, was a sous chef. We hadn't seen a sous chef. Do you think, reflecting back on the season, that having a sous chef on board, was it helpful to you? Or given the confined spaces and that need to have to work closely with another person in that real sort of fishbowl environment where you've got cameras and everything, do you think that you would prefer that, or is it actually better to have no one? Like, what would you choose?
On that size vessel, because of the gross tonnage, because it's not just about the length, it's about how thick that bitch was, set as a heavy boat. That you legally have to have a sous chef on that size boat. So I personally love working with sous chefs, but it was my first time and I hadn't gone through the interview process myself. I normally have a sous chef on yachts because I normally work on bigger yachts. Sometimes I have 2 to 3 people working underneath me. And with my own business in Spain, I normally have 3 chefs as well. So I'm used to that environment. And I love someone that can wash up and do the heavy lifting, because basically that's all I really need someone for. But, you know, it was the first time I hadn't picked out my own team. And like, I know that I'm neurodivergent and I know this, my qualities and my best ones and my worst ones. I know what I'm good at and what I'm bad at. So normally when I do the interview process, like I actually try to do with Anthony, just to see what his, you know, what his weakness and strengths were. So I could be like, okay, great, because I'm really not good at making this, so I'll put you on that, you know. And so normally the dynamic with me and other chefs is fantastic. And I think we can see as well, like approaching it at the end of the season, it was a bit rocky with Alicia at the beginning of her being so green, but then she was just flying. And I feel like we were flying in the kitchen. So having Alicia come on board was like having an angel approach me, you know. So yeah, it depends on the sous chef, but I do like to work with other people, because otherwise a lot of the time as a sole chef I do just end up very much in my own head, because I talk to myself constantly. So at least when someone else is there, I can just, you know, talk away and chat if I need to. But otherwise, if I'm silent, it's because my head is just rushing so much.
We've seen, we've interviewed Captain Jason a couple of times, and we've seen him be really supportive of you on the show, and he was supportive of you in the interview that he did with us.
Wow.
How important is the having that relationship with him? And also, are you still dreaming about him?
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about the dreams. Okay, so you brought that up. I mean, I just feel so honored that I had 2 seasons with him. Yeah. And also a friendship on top of it. You know, he is so diplomatic with the way that he does it. He's very Switzerland with everything. He is just a really incredible person to work with. I actually now realize, I think Lara might have been dreaming a bit more about him than I have been over the last few years. I did catch the comment I said as well when she told me about the dream. I'm like, I've been trying for 2.5 years of you sweeping now. Like, how dare you? Like, I put in the groundwork here, the groundwork. And she's so beautiful and blonde and gorgeous as well. I was like, well, now I definitely don't have a chance, do I?
Yeah. You talk yourself down so much. You've got to have more confidence. Because you're very good at what you do, and you're there for a reason. And just that, I don't want you to feel like, look at me, I'm talking to you like I'm your mother. I don't want you to feel threatened by these girls.
Shining behind you there. But, yeah, and I mean, my therapist talks to me about this a lot as well. Like, she even, like, checking over my resume, she was like, you know, you didn't even put your award in there or any of these great things that you've done and these like insane clients that you worked for. It's like, well, I don't want to gloat, you know. it's always going to be a confidence thing for me. And I think even with this season, it's like, you know, when you get knocked down so much, it is difficult to get yourself back up, you know. But thankfully, with, you know, the incredible mental health team we have with Bravo and my own personal therapist, I feel like I'm getting there with confidence. I think I am. And also I'm going to mention it on the last podcast I do, but I did something pretty incredible this season with food wise, which I don't think anyone picked up yet, but I'm really proud about. So for me, with ending down under, it was like a nice tick of like, well, I know personally food wise that I did something incredible. So that no other chef has done in the history of Below Deck. So that I have kind of like sitting with me, which I'm really proud about, that again, I don't have to go gloating, you know.
But your food to gloat, it's like, I'll gloat on your behalf. No one ever complains about your food. I see on the other Below Decks, you get people complaining about food. There's never any complaints about the food. So smashing it.
Yeah. And even with like everything going on, I do think, obviously, you know, I'm human. I'm going to sometimes explode. But I do think compared to any other chef I've ever seen on Below Deck and even worked with, in the situations that I was put in, I don't think anyone else would have actually kept their cool as much as I did in so many situations. And I'm really proud about that. Obviously, not so proud about, you know, telling Nara that she was late. But it's just like, that was just an explosion. I think it's just from, like, you know, the night before, and I've taken full accountability for it. And I did on the spot, the first thing I did was go up and tell Jason straight away. But yeah, I think that was probably like my weakest moment, and probably spiteful, to be honest. It was definitely spiteful.
I'm human. I mean, we're all human, and sometimes you're going to slip up with things like that. And as you said, you owned it. So move on.
Yeah, move on. I did. And also, even seeing this episode, it's like, you know, I was very upset the night before, the fact that I didn't have, for 12 courses, I didn't have any radio communication from her because the radio didn't match her outfit, which, from working with people like Asia and stuff, who, you know, Asia and I had a really good system where, like, she would shove that radio anywhere. And Asia does this thing where if it's time for me to plate, she'll, even in front of the guests, it's hilarious, she basically gets her microphone and, like, turns it on so I can hear it, and she goes so I just hear blows down the radio, so I know, okay, this means that I have to plate. And just communication was so lost, and I knew that it was, she did it for spiteful reasons. So that's why the next morning I was just like, she came in guns blazing. She wasn't late, but in yachting, if you're on time, you are late. And those guests the night before were like, we're gonna be up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and she basically was like, they're not. So I woke up at 4 a.m. and the guests were up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's actually why I said, well, you're late, when she technically wasn't late. She was in her normal time, but she always knows better than the guests.
Oh, my goodness. You must be glad it's over.
Oh, my gosh. Like, no, like, Thursday is my last podcast. And then never gonna mention her name again, hopefully. Never, just, it's gonna be so done. And yeah, it's gonna be such a huge relief for me, to be honest, and, you know, completely break contact of toxic people, like my therapist had told me to do. And you know, going back to the surf retreat on Friday for a bit, which is more my sort of people. And then the crazy thing is that my first season that I did of Down Under is now going to be airing in the UK. So now I've got to start again. So now I'm going to start again. So it looks like I'm going to be in the UK for a little bit as well before getting back to America.
Wow. Look, we've got one last question for you, and this is not about a toxic relationship. This is actually about Nate. So you've done a little bit of interaction with Nate online. Loved the Dirty Dancing clip that the two of you did. That was adorable.
No, but I feel like with my swimming pool, I was like, why didn't we do Titanic? And we've been messaging each other like, why? We could have done a hand on the window. You know, I could have, I really, really missed something there. But I think Dirty Dancing, it was sexy enough for the audience. Yeah, Nate is an absolute gem of a human being, like, really one of the greatest people ever. And it was so nice having him in my home in Fort Lauderdale as well, and getting to have that time with him. It was really special. It was really, really nice.
I wish that he had come in earlier to replace Weehan.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. If he was there from day one, it would have been a actually, I probably would have been targeted from the beginning, actually. So, yeah, you never know how things play out. But it would have been a whole lot easier and better. Mm. But, he was just incredible. And Nick as well. Oh, beautiful, beautiful Nick. He's just an incredible human being as well. And we were so lucky that, you know, Johnny is a really good guy, and it was his decision to leave as well. But having these new males come on who've had really big female influences in their life was such a good fit for the crew that we had to help end on such a good high as for like for the rest of the crew. It was a really good casting there. Really good casting.
And as viewers, we felt that this season shift with those replacements. And it was
hugely. Yeah. But I feel like both seasons I've done with like, you know, double firings on each one, like the way that it shifts, you know, it's insane. And it really does show like the reality of how it is on a yacht and why crew is so important, you know. And so many people are like, oh, it's so difficult to, you know, get on a boat when you're a greenie. It's like, yeah, because a lot of the time it is about personality, because in the real world, you don't want those clashes on yachts. So it's casted differently or the people interviewed differently. So you have to make sure that your crew get along.
Yeah,
because you're trapped at sea with them.
Yeah. You're living there. You're stuck. Like back.
Exactly. This is why I've been also pushing so much, but I don't think it's going to work. But in the yachting industry, we don't get background checks. So you never know who you're going to sea with as well. I think this is the incredible thing about Below Deck as well, is that we are very protected. I always say that. Below Deck is like yachting with guardian angels around us, because, you know, no harm will come to us.
Yeah. Well, we love it. Below Deck is streaming in Australia on Hayu on Tuesdays, same day as the US. Thank you so much for your time, Serena. It has been a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Reality Mums acknowledges the traditional owners of lands and waters that this podcast is recorded on.